Guys. Okay, let's try to wrap up what we did last week. So we were trying to answer the question of what, right? Well, I think as we posed it was, can Josh Poskin? Last week we covered a lot of ground, but we actually only covered part of the equation, because last week, if you think about what we covered was what does it mean to Poskin, right? And we'll review that in just a second. But there's really a second part which we didn't even touch on, which is for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Those are two different things, right? You can very much imagine a model in which we would say, listen, you are a posek, but it's not good for you to poskin for yourself because of a thing called bias, right? So really these are two questions, right? One is... going back to something we talked about last week, it could be that, right, there's a, that maybe the limitations on poskening for herself, if there are any, and we'll see there may not be, would themselves be limited by the questions that we saw last week. So let's quickly review what we did last week. I will point to the source. I'm not going to read everything aside, but this way you have them. Okay, and then we will, and then we'll go on. So again, what were the factors that we saw? So the first factor we saw was what? In order to be a posek, there is
knowledge.
Good, right? There's a requirement of knowledge. Is an expertise. Now, if you want, because I have. So as we saw, if you look at just number 7, right, the basic requirements are, and this is the Gemara that we read in Horiot, that what did remind me what we said? What are the two requirements? Gamir v'Savir. Right, that's what the Gemara here in number 7 says, that when we're talking about what it means for sheets, what it means to be ra'ui lahora'a, again, a lot of these we talked about last week, so I'm just going to point them out. But in order to be called higir lahora'a, we call it gamir v'Savir. Gamir means that you know things, savir means that you know how to analyze them, and that's what Rashi says. Gamir is lamar hadavar, that's number 8. Gamir means you learned. Savir mevin davar mitoch davar. Okay? Now, I do want to show you just a Rambam that I think is very helpful in this context, because it's going to sound harsh, but whatever. I don't really care. People sometimes have this tendency to think that a posek is equivalent to a rabbi, or a rabbi is equivalent to a posek. This is a very bad mistake to make in both directions, right? If you don't have quote-unquote modern-day smicha, which is just rehetz or hara, but you clearly are ra'u l'hara, so, right? You can still poskin. On the other hand, just because you have smicha doesn't mean that you can poskin, especially as we saw, something which is really a psak, right? And why is that the case? Right? Someone explain to me why that's the case. Why is that obvious that that's the case? Correct, you're conflating two different things. Psak is something that requires expertise, right? Now, most, just the reality on the ground, and this is, again, this is not a critique of it. It's just a statement of reality. The problem is not this reality on the ground. It's that people don't understand the reality on the ground. Is that for most people, not all, their shul rabbi doesn't need to be a posek. Doesn't need to. Either because the people in the shul have their own rebbeim, which is true a lot of times in Israel, right? Right? So either, so okay. So one is because 90% of the shalas are marmakim anyways, right? They're not psak. Second is because many people, especially, let's say, in a shul in Israel, even if they have a rabbi, right, he doesn't need to be the posek. People have their own rabbanim, right? Shul is much less of a central part of people's lives, right? And the third is that many shul rabbis, when it comes to complicated psak, so they have the poskim they go to, right? And I know that in America, one of the questions that they ask on, that I have heard, that I approve of, and I used on my, when I was on the rabbinic search committee for my shul, right, was, what poskim do you turn to when you're not comfortable making a decision yourself, right? Because many shul rabbis do not view themselves as poskim, right, in the sense of poskining new shalat. They just don't, right? And therefore, it's important, if you want to know the way they're going, right, the halachic positions they're going to take, it's more what poskim they do turn to. That's not a problem. most shul rabbis, their main roles are other, right? Pastoral, right? They're there to help people through hard times. They're there to help people, to be there with people in smachot. They give shiurim. They're there for the youth. They're whatever, right? Every shul has their own need, and that's fine, right? That's fine. There are certain people who insist that it's not fine, that every rabbi, to be a shul rabbi, needs to be a posek. I don't think that's true, right? But where it gets dangerous is, right, so I've met very good rabbis, right, who say, listen, I know my strengths, right? I'm smart enough to give a shiur. I can give people basic, you know, kashrus things, right? I'm very good pastorally, but I'm not a posek, and that's fine. I know my, and I know that I'm not. So I have my posek. If you have a rabbi like that, kol hakavod lo, like, right? If someone was a Tanakh teacher, right, and they know Tanakh really, really well, right, but they don't know halacha, you wouldn't look down on them and say, aha, right, you can't be a Tanakh teacher because you don't know, right? And for better or for worse, most shuls in America, right, don't need the biggest Talmud Chacham. They need someone who's good with people, right? The problem is sometimes people conflate the two and say, oh, a rabbi is a posek, right? That is very, very dangerous. And in that context, I quote this Rambam in number 10, okay? He's commenting on Dayanim, but I'll let the Rambam be harsh for me, okay? He says, Kol Sanhedrin Omelech, Arosh Golash, Emidu Lahen Li Yisrael, Dayan She'ino Hagun, Ve'ino Chacham, Mechmana Torah, Vira'ui Liyot Dayan. Any court or king that appoints a judge who's not proper and not wise in the Torah and worthy of being a Dayan, and now he says, Afal Pishu Kulo Machmadim, even though he's so pleasant, right? V'yesh bo tovot acherot, and he has other good qualities going for him. Hareze shehem ido over below ta'aseh, you violate a negative prohibition, shenemar lo takiru panim bamishpat, right? Because you cannot show favoritism in judgment, right?
A judge can't show favoritism.
Correct. Now, but what I like with the Rambam is acknowledging, what is he acknowledging? And admittedly, you don't formally violate this, but what's he acknowledging? Right? That people sometimes forget that there are different skill sets that you need for different things that we put under the broad,
Rabbi, you know, in order to,
they'll say, oh, but he's such a mensch, and he gives such inspiring drasha, and he's so good with the youth, and the answer is, in hachinami, that's fine, right? But, now, if a shul decides, we want the rabbi to be the last, right, the last address for any halachic question or shul, then they need to get a rabbi who's a posek, right? That's just...
I'm saying, who do you choose if you have one rabbi who's like a really good at halacha, one rabbi who's like...
So there is no answer to that question, right? Meaning, like I said, the answer to that question is the needs of the community as long as people understand what they're getting, right? Meaning, like I said, if a community says we need a posek as a rabbi, then you better get a posek. If they say we don't need a posek, right? We don't need a posek for whatever reason, right? Because we have other poskim around, right? Sometimes you'll have a community where, you know, I don't know, you have a community built around, built around a yeshiva, right? Whatever, right? You're in, whatever, take your pick, right? You're like Baltimore, right? Baltimore, right? Reheineman,
yeah.
Reheineman is the posek.
Yeah,
right, and when there's a complicated shaila in the community, they go to Roy Heineman. So if someone in a shul, if a shul rabbi isn't the biggest posek, it's not the biggest deal because, like, again, I'm not saying this in a formal way, but like, just the way from what I've gathered around the community, and Josh is confirming it, people understand Roy Heineman is a major posek. He lives in the community, so he's not the rabbi of your shul. Big deal. Or in Chicago, right? For many years, there was one shul, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz Davin, right? He was the gadol. Now, it happened to be the rabbi of the shul, big Talmud Chacham also, but, like, you know, he was the gadol, right? If someone had a shiloh, you could ask Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz. So if someone says, listen, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz davens my shul, right? So if the rabbi of my shul is really good at giving lamdus, but he isn't like poskening, okay. I don't know if that's the reality. I know he's a big Talmud Chacham, and from what I gather, he's a very good posek also, so I'm not, right, knocking him. But whatever. If you have a community like that, that's fine. Right, the problem is when you have someone who says he's really nice and gives good drush out, mistama, right? He's also a good posting. That's not true, right? The same way you wouldn't say, oh, he's such a nice person. He must be a good heart surgeon, right? You wouldn't do that, right? You just wouldn't do that, right? You might say that that person would be a good whatever. I don't know what.
I trust him with my heart.
Okay. Yes.
Sometimes you like the guzzle in the community. It might be known for being very, very strict about like a sock, and you don't want to go to that for.
No, fine. I'm not weighing in on this. I'm just pointing out that it's very important to realize, right, that psak is an expertise, right? And therefore, it's important that the person that is a poseg is actually qualified. And being a good, quote-unquote, rabbi does not necessarily make you a good poseg, right? That doesn't mean that they shouldn't be your shul rabbi. Going back to your question, Kofi, if someone says, listen, I have a very close relationship with these poskim, right? And if there a big shaila comes up, I know my own limitations, and I will call whatever. I'll call Rav Shechter, I'll call Rav Willig, I'll call Rav Asher Weiss, I'll call whatever, I don't care, right? And the community says, that's fine. What we need is someone who's good with the youth, right? And will come to our simchas, and will, you know, sit there with someone after a relative passes away, right? And he knows his limits, right? Ashrei v'tovlo, like, that's fine, right? That's totally fine. Again, are there people who disagree with me? Yes. One of my rebbeim in YU was like very harif about this. He's like, no, you can't be a shul rabbi unless you're a poseg. It's a failure of responsibility of being a shul rabbi. I'm like, okay, I mean.
Everyone, how could you be, isn't being a poseg like really hard?
Yeah.
I know, but this particular, you know, there are certain people who are very, very smart. And you know, there are certain people who are very, very smart and like.
Expect everyone else to be
doing. They don't necessarily remember how hard things are for other people. You know, okay. Okay.
That's you. Anytime you mention any source, you're like, oh, yeah.
Wait, you're saying you don't know Kol HaTorah yet?
Anyways. Yes.
Can you ask your rabbi who would be the best poseik that would give me the answer I'm looking for?
Yeah, sure.
For question?
Sure.
I said Rosira.
Rosira.
Would you ever be a pulpit rabbi?
I mean, I functioned in somewhat of a pulpit role in Toronto. Okay. Okay, good. But that's, guys, now that is Gamir v'Savir, right? So that's a little bit on Gamir v'Savir. So the first thing we said is that you need to be qualified, right? Gamir v'Savir. The second point we noted, right, is that... we mentioned this Gemara, but the second point to note is that the Gemara raises the possibility that you could be able to paskin in certain areas of halacha and not in others. Okay? So the Gemara, and remember we mentioned it last week, this is in number 12, that our smicha comes from this discussion in the Gemara where they would ask, Yore, are you allowed to paskin? Isra Hatter? Yorah. Yadin? Yadin. Now,
you say it twice.
Now there is a very important machloket between the Rambam and the Ravid as to the following. The Ravid reads that Gemara as saying that even if someone is only an expert in one area of halacha, you can give them smicha in that area. The Rambam, correct. The Rambam paskins like the Yerushalmi and says no. What that Gemara means is not that. What the Gemara means is that in order to be ra'i lehora, you need to be able to paskin in every area of halacha. And even if you know Kol HaTorah Kula, you can still only be given a heter hora in one area of halacha, but you need to, right, meaning
there were
what?
People in the Gemara who were better at paskin.
So correct. So the way the Rambam seems to understand is, listen, you can be a bigger expert in one area, but you have to have basic proficiency in psak in every area. Now, why would you say something like that? Why would you say you have to know Kol HaTorah Kula to paskin anything, to really paskin anything? So, good. So, Rav Shechter always says, because everything affects everything. There's no such thing. Without basic proficiency, again, you could be an expert in one area, but if you don't know everything, right? So, for example, right, Rav Lichtenstein used to give this example, right? Someone asked him about Yotzot, right? Who paskin in Nida? He said, look, that's very nice. Right, and he supports Yotzot, but you just have to remember, it wasn't a critique, it was just a description. But you have to remember that not every Nida Shaila is really a Nida Shaila. Some Nida Shailas are Suffolk Shailas, right? They're part of, right? Meaning, if it's straightforward, then it's a Nida Shaila. If it's a doubtful case, then this is part of the general world of Shvekot. So if they know how to paskin Shvekot, great. But if they've only trained in Yidda, but they didn't train in Sveikot, right, then you can't paskin, right? So that's one answer, right? Rav Rosenzweig, when I was in 11th or 12th grade in Rambam, came and gave a guest cheer. I don't know if he still does that, but he came and gave a son. Son? You had Moshe Ariel, right? Yes, Rabbi Moshe Ariel. Yes, it's a son. Yes. Yes. He's Moshe. He goes by Ariel. He goes by Ariel, yes. But his name's, yeah, anyways. Not important. So I remember it. Rav Rosenzweig gave shir on this Rambam. One second, guys. Rav Rosenzweig gave shir on this Rambam. And he said, no, I have a different svara. And that is that it's more than that. Real psak, right, which is represented by smicha, where you become part of the change of the mesorah, is about more than knowing information. It's about developing an intuition. Because when you're posking something new, you can't just look at a source. What do you need? A certain chush, a certain sense of what the system is pointing to, right? She said, if that's the case, you only can get that sense when you know everything. Right? If you know everything, so you might be an expert in something, but you need to have like a pretty decent proficiency in everything to have, especially since the system works together, to have that intuitive sense and be able to make new decisions, right? Now, again, that's really only true for formal smicha, but even in terms of poskening, there is something to that, right? Yeah.
What does each like sugya mean? Like, how would you define that? That if they're basic knowledge in each thing.
In all areas of halacha. That's
but what is
all.
No, but how deeply even like,
so the way the Rambam has it is you have to be ro'i lehora. You have to know it that you are actually worthy of poskening and everything. And nevertheless, you can be given partial smicha.
But how much knowledge is that in each thing?
Even in tarot?
How much everything. How much everything.
No, he said basic knowledge.
A basic knowledge of everything.
Yes.
Yes.
What is a basic knowledge?
It's kol ha'tarah.
Kol ha'tarah kula. Yeah. Look, I understand that you're like, that's crazy, but you know, it's like, Rav Rosenzweig was talking about Bikias, right? Someone told me that he was talking about Bikias, and he asked someone a question about a Ritva in the Masechta, right? And he said to him, but Rebbe, I'm only learning the Masechta and Bikias. He's like, I know. So what does the Ritva say? Right? 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 For example, Bikias, like, oh, you do with all the Rishonim. And even means you analyze it deeper, right? Like, you know, you have to do everything and then you just do it deeper. Yeah.
So what's the real difference between smicha of, like, the Tanaim?
Okay, right. So smicha of the Tanaim is a chalois, right? It gives you a status. It allows you to paskin dinei knasot, right? It's not just psak. It's certain things that you need the formal status of Elohim. Right? Right? So, like, giving the death penalty, giving kenas, right? That, you need real smicha. A real beta, not a, right? Correct. So, obviously, this is not an exact parallel, right? Because that's a unique thing, right? That is a different, but, correct. What we have, smicha, which is heter ra, that you're allowed to paskin, obviously, that isn't as demanding. But still, the idea that a cohesive knowledge of Torah is still going to give you something more than a very deep dive into this sugya, right? So there's still something about knowing everything, even basically, right? Right? There is still, that remains true. Yeah.
So currently we aren't able to enact capital punishment.
Correct. Okay.
Do you think that we don't have the same thing?
So that seems to be this heter hara, yeah, that we get here from this Gemara in Sanhedrin. Though that, right, something like that. Right. Okay. But this is,
The nature of the heter hara is to personally bind someone to something? What is
that? No, heter hara is to allow someone to paskin. Now, we'll come to it. We'll come to it in a second, okay? There's two parts to it. One is to say you're qualified. So one is that. The other, we'll see. So remember I said last week there's a few factors in poskening. Before we get into the bias question is, are you qualified? But then there's also the external things like kavod, right? So there's another role to heter hara'a, and that has nothing to do between the person asking the shayla and the person answering it, but between the person asking being asked the shayla and his rebbeim, right? Because, right, there are limitations on kavod, right? So nitilat reshut, heter hara is also nitilat reshut. It's where your rav is now saying you can paskin, right?
The heter hara is basically when you get
where you get permission to give advice, or is it permission to give, like, aid and give an answer that would bind the person?
Well, that for sure, but we'll have to get to why questions are binding. We haven't gotten there. Okay?
Who is allowed to give that dharma? Is it only someone that has that dharma, or is it somebody who is, like, smart
enough that people, like...
So, again, this is where things get complicated because it's less... It's less formal, okay? But guys, so again, I don't want to get fully into it again because we talked about it a little bit last week, right? But fundamentally, the first question is knowledge, right? Knowledge and skills, yes? Then we said that the second thing is to figure out whether something is a psak, right? At all, right? That these limitations don't apply to everything, right? They only apply to psak, right? But something which is not a psak, it's not going to apply to. Let me see if I put it on this sheet. Okay, I didn't put it here, but as I said, right, in the Gemara, the classic case which is not called a psak is somewhere in the Gemara at Zilkari Beirav, it's somewhere first with psukim. And the Shach adds, right, Davar Hamifurash Beposkin. Yes? Then we noted that even if you are, in theory, qualified to paskin, there are external concerns like kavod, right? And that's one of the things. So I gave you just look at number one, right? Go back to number one. This is Simin Reshim and Beden Shulchan Aruch and Yeradea. It's called Kavod Rabo Vitamid Chacham. Right? Shalo lahorop ifnei rav. Right? Part of kavod rav is not to pasuk in front of your rav. So you'll see here a few of the things that we said. So if you look at sif aleph, chayav adam lechvod rabo v'yirato yotim mishal aviv. Right? You have to honor your father, your rav, more than your father. Fine. Kol cholek al rabo kecholek al shechina. And anyone who argues on his rav is like arguing on the shechina. Eidzu cholek al rabo. Anyone who sits in paskins, kavua, right, set without permission from his rav. V'rabo kayam, and your rav is alive. Aval bishum dina acheret. Aval mu. Now the Rama notes that doesn't mean you can't disagree with your rav. Right, it's the formal setting up a, beitin or something, right? But he says aval mutar lachlokalav beiza psak or rai. You can obviously argue. Im yesh lo rai ochachot ledvarav. It's not that you're bound by it. It's you just can't. Right, take out on that, public authority. And in front of your rav, right, so if your rav is not there, what can't you do? Set up a yeshiva without permission. If your rav is there, what can't you do? Paskin at all. Asur l'adam lohorot lifnei rabo le'olam. V'chol amore lifanav chayav mita. Okay? And he notes that afilin tzilat reshut lo mahani betoch shlosha parsot. If you're within a proximity of your rav, even getting permission doesn't help. Im hayav hu rabo muvhak. If he is your Rebbe Muvak. Now, as I said, the question of Rebbe Muvak is very complicated b'zman hazeh because of what we mentioned last week of Mipi Svarim Velo Mipi Sofrim, that Rebbe Muvak is supposed to be the person from whom you've learned the majority of your Torah. And there is very few people, right, which is not clear that we did that, right, and we didn't learn it from a book. Now, the truth is that the Aruch HaShulchan goes in the opposite direction. The Aruch HaShulchan says no. The fact that we have so much information at our fingertips makes it very easy to figure out who your Rabbi Mufak is. And that is the person who gave you the skills. Because you don't have to start weighing out, well, who taught me more Gemaras? Because that's easy. That's on the shelf. Your Rabbi Mufak is the person who gave you the Derech and Psak. Right? But most people assume that, no, the laws of Rabbi Mufak are actually weakened. The Aruch HaShulchan. Right? But most people assume that it's actually weakened. But what I gave you in Siftet, now, if you look at this, right? Remember I said, that what counts as a psak? So look at Zayin Cherentet. Lo, right? Everything I said is not a chiddush. If you just sort of read the basic halachot, lo mikri hal ra'ah. It's not called psak. Ela shemor al masa shebalafana. First, it has to be a shaila that actually comes to you. Aval bara, right? Aval imshalu letamid halacha divrei mi. But if someone just asked you a theoretical question, what is the halacha? Is that a hora'ah? No, right? Sifchet. Lo mikri hora ela b'davar sheish bo chidush lashoel. It's not a psak unless it's novel. Avo bara yidua shipshuta lakol, but everybody knows. Could go notin tam lefgam, right? Like the basic laws of kashrut. Olavatel isra b'shishim achayot be'elu mutar. And yesh mishakatav shekol hakatuv b'svarim b'poskei ha'gaonim yachol ha'rabbi meir rabo. And some say that even in front of your Rebbe, you're allowed to paskin. Oh, sorry, when your Rebbe is around, you're allowed to paskin as long as it's clear in the Sfarim. Right? Rock lo yo red, davar mi libo, but not something from your heart that's not in a sefer. Right? Now, sif yud aleph, la frushe mi isura, right? If you see someone about to violate an isser, you're always allowed to stop them. Okay? Skip to sif yud gimel. Now, what happens if you paskin when you're not worthy? Talmid shaloi gilara umore. If you're not worthy of paskining, and you do, this is a quote of a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and in Sota. Harizah shote rasha vigatzruach. You're stupid, evil, and arrogant. Ralav ne'emar, and about you we say ki rabim chalalim hipila, that you have felled many corpses. Right? And the Ramah says, right? And the Ramah says, v'talmidim haktanim, Hakovtzim laharot v'leishev v'rosh, and those small students who jump to be at the front, litgadel v'fnei amaretz, marbim machloket, they increase machloket, u'machrivim ha'olam, u'michabin ne'ra shel Torah. They destroy the world and extinguish the Torah. V'yizaher kol adam shel yorek shu shatu yayin, right, and don't paskin when you're drunk, right, oshar zeram v'shakrim, afil v'davar pashut, ki im lo davar shebarer b'poskim, v'zil kari b'ravu. Right? Okay. Now, obviously, the flip side is if people who aren't worthy shouldn't paskin, that people who are worthy had better make sure to paskin, because otherwise people will fill in the gap. And that's you get in $50. The kol kacham shehi gil o ravin amore harezem onea torah v'notin michshalot lifnei rabim v'alav ne'emar v'atzumim kol harugah. Okay. Now, so we've seen that big adol, that what you require is, first of all, knowledge, right? Ability to analyze. We pointed out last week that these factors may change when information is easily accessible. Okay, we can come back to that point. But what about the middle level? Remember I said there's a middle level, right? There's the extremes. Psak and Davar HaMefurish Biposkim, right? Things that clearly require a posek and things that clearly do not. What about the things in the middle? Right? So if you look, there's a very interesting smock in number 13.
What would be in the middle? Like a suffix? Yeah. If it's not, what?
What? No, it's like a case where... No. Like we said, the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan have a machloket. Both are live options. It's not clear, but I'm not making it up. Right? So, if you look at 13, the smock seems to already introduce this category. Because he says, the smock in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Aleph thinks there's a mitzvah to paskin. Okay? Lahorot, dichtiv, lahorot ben Israel, mitzvah l'adam lashiv l'shuel davar ha'ra'im yodea. There's a mitzvah for you to paskin if you know. Afil lo higia lo ra'im ein gadol be'ir kmoto. But even if you're not worthy of paskin, if there's no one better than you in the city. Right? You see what he's already telling you? That sometimes you have to answer shilas that are basically psak, even though you can't, because sometimes you don't have a choice, which already tells you that even though the ideal is there's like hara'a and non-hara'a, right? Sometimes even someone who's not really qualified kind of has to. What? So now, but that's not my point. My point is simply that there is this gray zone, right? He's clearly telling you, because if there wasn't a gray zone, how could you say someone is not ra'i lahara'a, but sometimes he has to paskin? Unless you recognize that, listen, there's like a gray zone in the middle, right? Which is sort of psak, sort of not. Now, he's probably dealing with a higher level question, but still, the idea that there's something in the middle, right, is important to recognize. Now, this also becomes clear in source 14, right? Because I said there's, right, in addition to this, there's also the midot question, right? So this comes up in a very important shuv of the Rimigash, where the Rimigash was asked the following, and he has multiple things happening at once. He says, She'ilah. Mi mayomar adonenu beish shelo kara me'alam halacha imra ve'ini yodeh derech halacha ve'lo perushah ve'lo bekriyata elushu ra'a harbei me'atshuvot ha'gaonim zal. What if you have someone who doesn't know how to read Gemara, really? I mean, that's not how they paskin, but they know all the tshuvot ha'gaonim. Now, the tshuvot ha'gaonim for the Rif, for the Rimigash, is basically the equivalent of our... Yeah, right, meaning he's not like an expert in Gemara, but like, he knows every Shulchan Aruch Shachtaz, like, right, he knows everything, like all the contemporary stuff, really, really well. So he's not poskening himself, right?
Sources.
Well, not quite, right? Meaning it's not a consensus. Like, he knows what all the contemporary people are saying. There's no consensus. So he's poskening, he's making this, right? That's the middle ground we're talking about.
Is this the same that he has in the
what? Brady says, what?
How choose between one and the other?
So one second. Well, one second. One second. Right? He says...
How is he supposed to know who's smart?
Right? So go skip down three lines. He said, what's the problem? First problem is, he knows all the tshuva, but what if the case is slightly different? He's not going to know what to do. He's going to misunderstand it because he doesn't understand the sources, right? Like, he's proficient in the modern stuff, but he doesn't really understand it. That's a problem. Then he says, by the way, the guy's also a Russia, right? Right? He said, one second. The idol of Rishot Rabot. All the evil things. And he makes mistakes and he attributes it to the wrong people. Okay, not sounding so good. So he answers, give me a second. He said, da... He says, listen, he's better than some others because there are a lot of people who paskin who don't know the Gemara and they also don't know the contemporary stuff, right? And he says, if I had to choose, he said, if I had to choose between someone who thinks they know the Gemara but doesn't really, right? And someone who's aware that they don't really know the sources and view themselves as sort of an arbiter amongst, you know, the contemporary ones, which would he take? The second one. Why? Yeah, meaning at the end of the day, he's relying on the Gaonim, which is still better, right? As opposed to... Now, at the end, he obviously said, and he says, nowadays, and he said, there are so few people or nobody who really, really pass in straight from the Gemara. Anyways, right? So having a good, bekiyud in the modern stuff is good. Now, he just says, at the last three lines, he just notes, obviously, said, but obviously, that which you said, the guy's a Russia, that disqualifies him, right? He's like, different problem here. Right, but what does the Rimigash tell you? So first of all, he tells you you've got to be a good person, great, right? But more importantly, what he tells you, again, is that he helps open up this middle category, right? Right, is that, listen, there is sort of a middle category where you don't know Kol HaTorah Kulo, but you have proficiency in the modern poskim. And like, in the end of the day, if someone says, look, I don't really understand the sugya, but I looked it up and Moshe Feinstein says it's mutter and Rishon Zalman says it's mutter, like... He might make some mistakes, but like you understand why this is a middle ground, right? It's not Napsak, right? It's not Maramakom, but it's not Psak. It's in between, right? And he acknowledges that there's a certain benefit to that place, and it allows you to answer certain questions. It's not ideal, right? And that's why I said that there is really this sliding scale, right? So now the two questions sort of blur, right? Because we said one question is, right? Right, is about qualifications, right? The second is, right, what counts, right, as psak, right? But what we see here is that at the extremes, right, the qualifications are very high, or basically non-existent, right, meaning real psak and maramako, right? But then there's this stuff in the middle, which is not really psak, but not psak. And therefore, what qualifications do you need? Well, obviously, ideally, we would want you to be a posek. But since that's not reasonable that everyone should be a posek, what does he say? You know, somewhere in between. And therefore, the broad sketch here that I would give you of can you possibly yourself is, well, real, real psak, the standards are very, very high, as we talked about. Right? Maramakom, easy, right? The stuff in the middle is where things get murky. Right, and what we see from the Rimigash, we see from the Smak, is that that's where people who are not really at the level of poskening, right, may still be able to weigh in. I just want to show one more first, I'll take your question. And another thing that complicates this, and I already mentioned it, is the access to books. Right, the access to books also complicates this middle category. And I gave you just one example, and if you look at the Pitchei Tshuva, number 17, he quotes the Maharsha, who says shekatavu v'dorot halalu otam shemorim halacha mitocha shulchan aruch harem hem enam yodim tam ha'inyan shekol davar em lo yidaktu tchila b'davar mitocha talmud shu shemish talmid chachamim ta'ud nafal b'horatan v'arei hen b'chlal mevale olam v'lachen yesh l'gor b'hen ayin shab. The Maharsha says people who paskin from shulchan aruch but don't understand what comes from the Gemara, they are destroying the world.
And you should be afraid of them.
And you should yell at them. The Gorban. Yell at them. Yell them. No, scream, yell them down. But he says, but then he says, so what is simple Pshat of the Maharsha? That books hasn't changed anything. Right? But then the Pitkei Tshuva qualifies this. And he says, Efshar didavka b'zman harav Maharsha shloha yadayin shum chibur al shulchan aruch. That maybe was true before there were no sekelim. Right? There were no sekelim. Shach, Taz, right? Meaning, when it was just a Shulchan Aruch, right? Reading Shulchan Aruch wouldn't give you any idea where the halacha comes from. But now, even if you don't know Gemara, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch and you read all the Nosei Kelim, the Shach is going to take Shulchan Aruch to task and say, well, this is the Gemara he's based on. These are the Rishonim. This is why I think he's right. This is why I think he's wrong. And the Taz is going to argue. And on the page, you will have, right, a basic discussion. Even if you don't open up the Gemara itself, you'll have a basic discussion of the Gemara, the Ki Rishonim. Exactly. So he says, he says, now you could paskin. Right? So like I said, that what further blurs it, as we've talked about, is the access to sources, and not just sources, but analysis. Right? That's what's unique about things like the Nosei Kelim. It's not just that it's another Shita. It's that they, even if you don't know the Gemara, major, major Talmidei Chachamim are quoting for you the basic Gemara, the basic arguments that have been made on the page, right? Which again further complicates this this middle ground. Okay, which is Ed here from the Rimi Gash Mido, right? And then, as we said, there's external issues of Kabbalah, right? Okay, so we have like 10 minutes. So now I want to make two more points.
So for this like middle ground area. Since it's not like a real sod, would you still be bound by whatever the answer would be?
Possibly. But then we have to talk about why sock is binding, which we are not going to talk about today. Okay? Yeah.
Do you qualify Russia? Is this still just like a knowing you see a type thing? Or?
Russia?
Yeah. He didn't really like specify what Russia is.
Yeah, he's someone who paskins when he's not ready to. That's what he's at.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the Rimi Gash?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He said that people have testified about many, many evils.
But he didn't like.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's like you'll know when you see it.
I don't know what they were talking about, okay?
Yeah.
Fine. But now, so this is all paskening. But as we said, there's still another factor to this, which is paskening for yourself, right? Now, is paskening for yourself better or worse?
Worse.
So there's, on the one hand, worse. Why? Because...
Bias.
On the other hand,
because it's only for yourself. You're not affecting
very good.
People.
Right. So you have. So on the level of kavod,
well, that's
it is. It is no. On the level of kavod, posking for yourself actually makes things
better.
Better. Why? Because it's less of an affront to your rav. Right. It's one thing if your rav, you know. You start posking the whole world and your rav is still alive, right? You're like usurping authority. But if you're doing it in your own house for yourself, right, that's not a statement of authority in the same way. So, and in general, the rule is that this limitation, the kavod limitation, does not apply to posking for yourself. There's a machloket in the achronim, in the Rishonim and the achronim, about is posking for your family the same as posking for yourself or posking for someone else, right? And you can see sort of how that, right, straddles a line there. And that's, if you want to look, that source is 2-7.
Oh, well.
Okay, right? Rabbi Yerucham says, Yesh lehistapek, im b'nei beito shel tamid hutzrechu lehora v'shalom mutor k'mo shamanar al bikat sakin latzmo onemar delo dami hidavka sakin she'eno elechvodo shel chacham v'chenega mochal hachacham shlo atriach ed tamid lavo etz lavo ra afil latzmo asur b'makom rav v'adam achrag la'asur. So he paskins asur even for yourself. Right now, the Gemara says that bedikat sakin, checking the knife, you don't have to if you're shechting for yourself. The problem is, Is bittikat sakin a normal psak or a lesser psak? So the Rav Yerucham assumes it's a lesser psak, so you can't even paskin for yourself in a case when you're not allowed to paskin. However, if you look at the Shevet Alevi, you'll see that the Rishon Letzion, he quotes the Rishon Letzion, who says that it's psitele de mutter. That's number three. That paskin for yourself, the kavod issue definitely does not apply. This is a bit of a problem because the Rishon Letzion in number six seems to say the opposite. So I don't know who he's quoting, but at any rate, he quotes a shita who says that it's not a problem at all. What about in your house? So the Pitchei Tshuva expands it, and he says, he quotes the Chavod Yair, who says even for your family, that's not called psak on the kavod level, right? So there's less limitations of paskining within that. The Pitchei Tshuva himself doesn't like it. He says, no, even for your family, it is Asur, and the Aruch HaShulchan quotes that as well. Okay, so that's, on the one hand, it might make it better, but even that's a question, both in terms of for yourself and for others. Okay? The bigger question is the bias question, right? Is, even if someone is clearly a posik, right, there's no other problems, not his Rav, not anything, is there a problem about bias? So it comes down to two sources. Let me try to read you the key sources. And then we will, a few key sources. I'm running short on time. So the Gemara in Nida, number 18, tells the story where Yalta Aiti Dama Lekame de Rabba Barbar Chana Vitamile Vahadar Aiti Lekame de Yitzchak Rav Yehuda Vidachile. Yalta brought 18. Yalta brought blood of Nida to Rabba Barbar Chana, and he said it was Tameh. Brought it to Rav Yitzchak, and he said it was Tahor. And then the Gemara says, how can you do that? Psak is binding. You're not allowed to do that. Fine. And then it explains, no, he had something in his eye, and she was just explaining that he had something in his eye and made a mistake, and every other time she had the shayla, it was mutter. Fine. What all the Rishonim ask is, why didn't she ask her husband, who was a posik, right? Then you have the Mishnah in Negayim, where it says, "Kol Negayim Adam Roeh Chutz Mi Negay Atzmo, Me'omer Avlo Negay Krovav." Right, you're allowed to look at a nega, anybody's except for your own. Okay. And this, on the other hand, as we just mentioned, in the case of the knife in number 22, Amarava Turba Miraban Chazilin Afshe, in terms of whether a knife has a problem for Shrita, you are allowed to see it for yourself. So what do we learn from this? So Tosvot, if you look at 24, says that we learn from these sources together is, are you allowed to paskin for yourself? Yes. What's his proof? The Gemara in Erevin says, you're allowed to see your own knife. Yes. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Becharot says, you're not allowed to see your own negayim. But what does that imply? That negayim is unique. Right? If it meant that you're never allowed to paskin for yourself, then it should have said that, not you can't see negayim, which seems to be halacha in negayim. Right? And therefore, what does he have to solve? Why didn't Yalta just ask of Nachman, her husband? And what's Tosu's answer?
He wasn't a
bucky. Shemelo Yabaki. He was a big posik, but he wasn't good at Nida Shilas. Okay, it happens. Right? I don't know what you want from me. Right? Possibility one.
I would have thought bias.
Fine. Second one, he says, or Choshesh Shem Machir Asmo. Maybe he was worried that he'd be more machmir for himself. Right?
Oh, Leo Libonokvo Porish, because he would just feel like,
there's a Shaila? No, I have to wait till there's no Shailas. Right? Sometimes it's harder to be makel for yourself, so she wanted to just outsource the Shaila. Right? Inami Shalit has gotten fun of. Or she didn't want her husband to look at her as disgusting. And if every day, you know, she wanted to build up his excitement for when she wasn't Anita, and it doesn't help to every day be shoving her, possibly bloodied underwear in his face and saying, you know, is this Tameh? She's like, you know what? I'm just gonna ask someone else, and I'll tell you when I'm to, you know, when I'm Tahara, and right. But fundamentally, what does Tosaf believe? Are you allowed to paskin for yourself? Yes, right. And he therefore says the only reason Rav Nachman didn't either is because he was an expert or his wife didn't want to ask him for whatever reason. Negayim is an exception, but fundamentally, bias is not a problem. The Rosh, in number 23, says no. The Rosh says, well, what am I supposed to do? On the one hand, you're clearly allowed to look at your own knife for Shchita. On the other hand, you're not allowed to paskin Negayim. So he says, well, Negayim stands in for a category, and that is Itchazik Isura. Says it depends. There's two types of shailas. There's a shaila where you don't know what the halacha is, and then there's a shaila where it's usur, and you're trying to be matir it. So like by nida, if a woman has a nida, she's now forbidden. You need to answer the shaila not to figure out whether she's usur, but whether you can remove the status. He says, listen, when it's 50-50, right, you don't know the answer, you can paskin for yourself. But when the given is that it's usur, so then you can't. Right? To remove an isser, that's his chazek, then you can't paskin for yourself. The majority of poskim paskin, chad v'chalak, you're allowed to paskin for yourself. If you look, for example, at 29, at the shach says, katsubatosvo, soper kol ayat, yachal erot de meyishto. We're not worried about bias. You're allowed to paskin your own shilas. Okay? However, the Taz, paskins. What is the Taz paskin? If it's Chazik Yisur, he paskin the Rosh. If it's Chazik Yisur, you're not allowed to. Now, what's the Nafkamina? So the Chacham HaSadam actually paskin this way, but he says it actually depends. And he says, look, in Nida, for example, he said there's two types of Nida Shailas you can get. There's either a Nida Shaila on a Hefsik Tara. What's a Hefsik Tara? Let's very quickly, right? What? No, so, right? Because we're machmir to treat every nida like a zava, that means you need 7 clean days, right? So what does that mean? To start the 7 clean days, what do you need? A hefsek tara. Hefsek tara is where she searches to make sure she has no blood. Then you count 7 days, and she checks every day, right? So until you do the hefsek tara, she's bechazaka that she's bleeding, right? Once you do the hefsek tara, she's chazaka, she's not bleeding, and now you have to count the days, right? So the Chachmas Adam says that if it's the Hefsek Tara, the Chazaka now is that she's bleeding and you need to figure out whether she stopped bleeding halachically, then she's a Cheskas Isser and you're not allowed to paskin. Right? But for the Shevinikim, once you've established that she's not seeing anymore, then you're allowed to. The majority of poskim assume, and I gave you just the summary in at 33, if you want to look at Reuven Vadya, paskin that. How? You can paskin yourself even with bias, right? So to review what we've seen, okay? Again, this is I've given you 41 sources here, and this is just a taste of it, right? But just to review it, can you paskin for yourself? So first question, the first series of questions are, can you paskin at all? That includes qualifications. Gamir, to know things. Savir, do you know how to analyze? The second thing is figuring out whether it counts as psak. If it's totally new, then you need all the qualifications of posik. If it's Mare Makom, you're showing a source, you don't. If it's somewhere in the middle, some sort of sliding scale, right? Then there were some ancillary things, midot, there are kavod things, and then we said, is it different? Guys, then the question of, is it different if you paskin for yourself? So we saw there that on the kavod level, it might be better, and we saw machloket, whether you can paskin for yourself, even in case where you can't paskin for other people, and whether your family's in that category, right? And then we said there are cases in which it's worse because of bias. However, the majority of poskim paskin like the shach, that if you're qualified to poskin, we don't worry about bias. A minority, but not an insignificant minority of poskim assume that what? That if it's cheskat isser, only when there's a cheskat isser, then you can't. But I will just throw out that all of this is me'ikar adin. But what? Practically, if you feel yourself being biased, then probably what should you do? Ask someone else.
I just want to point out from Tosfot
that it doesn't have to be biased to be mekel, right? When you're paskin for yourself, you might have a tendency to be more mekel. You might have a tendency to be more machmir. It's very hard, and therefore,
formal guys.
No, it's bad. Why should you be more machmir when that's not the halacha?
Over any, like,
No, but your life is not going to be as pleasant if something's really mutter and you're being overly machmir yourself when it's not called for, just because you're scared. That's not good either. And therefore, right, big gadol, the answer is, look, formally, if you get to the point where you can paskin, do you have to ask someone else? The answer is probably not, right? Is it sometimes a good idea? Obviously. And therefore, every major posik I've ever met in my life, when they have really complicated challenges, first of all, for other people, and definitely for themselves, will often consult with other poskim. That's just a piece of good advice. It may not be formally required, right? That doesn't mean it's not a good advice, okay? This is like, I gave you, I'll just tell you that from 34 to the end is a subset of this, which is, when can we accept someone's claim that they heard a posik say that something's mutter? If they have a vested interest in being mutter, that's not a question possible for yourself. That's about establishing policy for the community, and that's really another issue. If you're interested in it, that's based on the Gemara here in Yevamot Ayin Zayin. I gave it to you from 34 to the end. Like I said, this is really a very, very quick summary, right? Each of these shailas requires many, many hours, because like I said, we talked about the generic of qualifications, how it might change with books, but we got to sort of hammer it down if you really wanted to figure it out. But you wanted the overview. This is the overview.
And Josh of, for himself.
No. This is the overview of what it takes. Okay? Guys, let's stop with that for now.